Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The book of Acts is the story of the Holy Spirit leading and guiding the first believers in Jesus Christ. You've probably heard me say before that although traditionally we call it the Acts of the Apostles, it really could better be called the Acts of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is in charge all the way through this book. The Spirit leads these new believers in Jesus, calls them, and sometimes pushes them as they share the story of Jesus far and wide throughout what was for them the whole known world. And we read today about Paul and Silas in Philippi. Now, it wasn't in our reading, but when they first come to Philippi, that is when they meet Lydia. So some of you are familiar with the character of Lydia. She is a seller of purple cloth, a woman of means in that community. And she's one of the first people to hear and believe the word about Jesus from Paul and Silas. And she invites them to stay with her. And she hosts one of those gatherings of these people of the way, as they were called, in her home. And so there they are staying with Lydia. And one day, as they're on their way through town, they encounter a slave girl. And this slave girl has this spirit of divination. And the Spirit recognizes Paul and Silas, right? And drives this girl to follow them all around and call out, oh, you are followers of the Most High God. And it says, Paul got annoyed with this finally, this noisy, disruptive spirit. Paul just got irritated and cast that spirit out. And then the slave girl disappears. And another time, we're going to look more closely at that slave girl. She's a troubling character. Is she freed by this freedom? Or does it simply mean that her owners, she's a slave, that her masters put her to some other work? It's hard to say, but it may or may not be a healing here. But really, this whole slave girl is just a plot device to get Silas and Paul arrested, because the owners are quite sure that Paul and Silas have hit them in the pocketbook. Nothing gets your attention more quickly than that, right? And they say, you have to arrest these guys. They are against our very way of life. Take them to jail. And so they're beaten and they're taken to jail. They're chained up in the inmost part of the jail. And while they are there, they sing and pray in prison. And all the other prisoners are hearing them sing and pray and give praise to God. They exhibit no fear, no particular concern about what has happened or what will happen to them. Of course, we also know that Paul has an ace in the hole. If you go on from today's reading, in the morning, he will stand before the jail and proclaim that as a citizen of Rome, he has been wrongly arrested and that they need to, give him his due. And then we have a jailbreak. This is the third jailbreak in the book of Acts. First, the apostles are arrested and they have a miraculous release from jail. Then Peter is arrested and jailed and he has a miraculous release from jail. And so here it's the third time there's an earthquake and all the chains fall off, not just Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners. Except this is a strange jailbreak because they all stay there. And the jailer, who is so distraught that all his prisoners have been freed and knowing the consequences he will face and the shame of his failure, is ready to fall on his sword, to kill himself. And Paul and Silas say, no, wait, don't do that. We're right here. We're not leaving. It's all good. And they begin to tell him about Jesus. And he is moved to so much that he takes them to his home and cares for their wounds. And then they keep talking about Jesus. And eventually there in the night, he and all his household are baptized. But then they're back at the jail the next morning, and I thought, that seems awfully strange. Really, they're running all over. But then I was reminded in the reading that the jailer probably lived right there. That's kind of how things were then. He didn't commute across town. He would have lived right at the jail with his household. And so they kind of went over and got cleaned up, and then they were back at the jail in the morning to, you know, proclaim their citizenship and move on in their gospel. You might say that Peter and Paul, that Silas and James and all these early apostles sail through the book of Acts on the winds of the Holy Spirit. It's not that they don't work. They're traveling mostly by foot, and Paul, we know, works a trade to support himself alongside the hospitality of people like Lydia. He has to work as a tent maker. And it's not that they don't suffer setbacks. They're beaten, they're put in jail, they're driven out of cities in some places. But they know that the Holy Spirit is in charge, and they live in concert with the movement of the Holy Spirit, who leads them to do outrageous things like eating with Gentiles and sticking around in a jail to help the man who had guarded them. Yesterday, our council had a retreat. And one of the topics was how we might sail with the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you may remember that about last summer at this time, the council and numerous people in our congregation were reading a book called Sailboat Church. And if you haven't read it, I would invite you again to read it. It's by Joan Gray, and we have a couple of copies. And it is just a whole book about how we as churches, who have so often worked really hard to get where we think we need to go by rowing really hard, and how we might turn that into giving our attention to the Holy Spirit and sailing with that wind of the Spirit. Rowing and sailing. So what does rowing look like? Rowing looks like working harder and harder and harder to keep doing things that aren't working anymore. In a really great book called Failure of Nerve, Edward Friedman talks about that as, you know, one of the things that sometimes when we get stuck, we just keep thinking if we try harder and harder to do what maybe used to work but isn't working now, that, you know, that's just a prescription for wearing out and getting frustrated, discouraged. That's the word I want, for getting discouraged. It's working toward what we think a church should look like, some expectation we have in our head, whether or not that is still relevant and necessary for this time and place. What does sailing look like? That's harder. But it begins with prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit. It begins with a passion of one or more members that is then shared with others and moves to a group of people who come together to do something new or to do something we've done in a new way with new energy. And so as a council, we talked about some of the places that we feel we are sailing as a congregation. One of those is OAR, that's our outreach group. It is outreach, advocacy, and rapid response. And it is, Jesus is the OAR that moves us, right? So even though it's an OAR, it's in that same way of how do we move with the Spirit of Jesus to do what we are called to do. And that group, their imagination was caught in the fall by the arrival of the refugees from Afghanistan, worked with LFS, did some response, collected items. We had people working closely with LFS. And then as that kind of crisis has been, you know, most of the families are settled and those things. And now we have these calls from the border to offer assistance to asylum seekers, are pivoting to meet that challenge. And the energy around that table is just beautiful. And we've had, you know, groups of 15 people to just gather and talk and say, okay, how do we become a part of this? How do we assist these folks who are coming through our city? with nothing, with literally nothing but the clothes they're wearing. Another area that I feel like is sailing is in worship. I am so grateful all the time for our worship and music team, both the staff and also the committee, for the ways that we are moving into trying new things while also holding to what is best and beloved of our tradition. I'm always kind of willing to keep those two things in tension and in mind as we make that flow between trying what's new and also enjoying what's beloved from our tradition. And so I just, that feels like sailing to me, because there's so much passion and love and energy here. And one other thing was this bench. Somebody at this church just got a passion for it and pulled together a team, Shelly Takeuchi, and made it happen, and something beautiful happened. And what I forgot to say is, when we, whatever amount of money we or someone ends up paying to bring this bench home, that will all be a donation to Lutheran Advocacy Ministry. That's the ministry that we chose to receive that money. And so it's a donation that will help a ministry we believe in and support and walk alongside to help Kurt and all of those volunteers who make that work happen. And so these are the places where we have been called, we've prayed, we've followed, we've just been struck with a passion to say, this is where we need to show up now. And that's what sailing looks like. Sailing is also a part of the culture of a place as we move from a vision of scarcity. Oh, we don't have enough money. We don't have enough members. We don't have enough volunteers to do it. Toward a vision of abundance. We have all we need. And if God is calling us into some place, then God will provide what we need to do it, even if we don't see it right now. If we truly believe we're following the Holy Spirit, we'll have what we need. And increasingly, I see that movement happening around here. Yeah, we can do that. We know we can make it. We can step out in faith a bit. It's about practicing gratitude for the blessings that we have received and for the people who are here in all of your amazing giftedness and faithfulness. When we sail, we look for where the energy and passion is already working, and then we put resources into those places to continue to grow in faith and mission. We had a lot of ideas yesterday. You can expect to see Coffee with the Council come back so that we can get to know y'all better. And watch for a celebration of ministry's lunch early in the summer. To thank our committee members who keep so many things moving and going here. Expect also to be invited into new ways to pray together in community as we practice this listening to God to call us to our next ventures. And we invite you, please, to talk to us, realizing that our bulletin board is kind of out of date, but we will very soon, Martha's not here, we will soon get the correct pictures up there, but talk to your council members. What do you expect of your council? What do you see happening here? And what needs to happen? Talk to me. Let me know what is helping you in your life of faith, what is missing, what you need. I really love to talk more with people, talk about your faith, talk about your needs. Talk about how the congregation is feeling to you. Many of you have also participated in our church becoming discussions. For me, sailing and church becoming are much the same thing. Rowing, looking a little more like the classic church, you know, wanting to go back and do it the way we used to. But it's ways of talking about what it means to discern together, of focusing on how we use our resources to move forward. We don't often feel that we don't see the kind of wonders in the book of Acts. I, for one, have never preached to a crowd of people and had 500 baptized that very day. It would be fun, but it's never happened. Not a lot of, you know, earthquakes and lightning bolts and miracles that we see. It doesn't mean that I don't think we see miracles, but it doesn't look like the book of Acts, right? But I think that we still have faith that the Spirit is guiding us, that we can hear that word from the Holy Spirit when we stop to listen, when we stop kind of rowing along on our path and say, God, we'd like to join your path. We'd like to get into your current and sail along for a while into your wind. So let's close with a prayer. Good and gracious God, we want to serve you and to follow where you lead. We also want the church that we love, the comfort and beauty of what we have known in church, in so many other places as we have been faithful members of congregations around the country and now in this place. It is not an either or, O God, but help us to find our way, to let go of what needs to be let go and make room for what is ready to begin. We are your people, God. We love you and we love the world you have made and given us. Call us to be your faithful servants to spread your love in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.